so much for the good special music tonight. Enjoyed our season of prayer. Take your Bible, as I mentioned earlier, if you would, and turn with me to the 100th Psalm, a very familiar psalm. There's been psalms written about this psalm, the old 100th. The 100th Psalm. And you'll see, just as clear as you can see, right under it, it says a psalm of praise. And so I want to talk to you about this psalm tonight. A psalm of praise. We'll read the psalm in its entirety, so I'll ask you if you would to stand to your feet for the reading of the psalm. We'll have a word of prayer, and I'll give you a few thoughts that God's laid on my heart. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. And we say amen to what we have read in Your Word. It is a wonderful thing to know that we are Your people and the sheep of Your pasture. Lord, we know because You've made it known to us that the Lord, He is God. You are not only the Creator God, but You are the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are our redeeming God, and we thank You for that. Tonight, as we look into this psalm, help us that we would learn more about how to worship You, in what spirit to worship You, and the purpose of worship, and how we could be led to worship by Your Holy Spirit and through Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. The 100th Psalm, as I said, is a very familiar psalm. I have just gone through and marked some things in this psalm that I'd like to bring to your attention. As I mentioned to you, certainly in this psalm it mentions that God is our Creator. It says in verse number 3, it is He that hath made us. And so one of the things that the psalmist is praising the Lord about is that he knows God is his Creator. Not just some big bang or something that came about. God is the Creator God. But then he mentions later on in the psalm, he mentions in verse 5 some attributes of God that would lead us to think that he's pointing toward or thinking of his redemptive place. He is not only our Creator God, but He is our Redeemer God. For the Lord is good. You know, I think about what the psalmist is saying here. When you look at verse number 3, it says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. And this know is not just a mental state of mind that the psalmist is talking about. He's saying that you have to have this revealed to you. It's an experiential knowledge to know that God is your maker. And then he comes down here and says, and that God in that high estate that he is in, as the Creator God, he's good. He's different than other gods. Most gods are angry. The gods that are made of hands, the idol gods, they're angry. And they're always asking their people to give to them. But here, the psalmist says, our God, the God that has made us, the God that we know is, in verse number 5, He's good. And I'm glad that I know God is good. Amen. God is good. You say, how is God good? I can't think of a way that He's not. It's just intrinsic. It's an attribute that defines who God is and what God is. God is good. Look what he said. The Lord is good. His mercy. You see, these are redemptive attributes. His goodness. His mercy. God is high, and we are sinners. And if that was just the end of it, then we would be left out. But because of verse number 5 says, His mercy is from everlasting. And I like this. And His truth, aren't these good attributes? You see, we praise God not only for what He does, but we praise God for who He is. He is a God of goodness. He is a God of mercy, the psalmist said in verse number 5. He is a God of truth. And that truth is just not to some generations. I'm glad that right up to this time that His truth endureth. And can I tell you that if Jesus doesn't come soon, that this next generation, that God's truth is going to be available to them too? Because God's word endureth forever. And I'm thankful to God for that. So we see these things. Now notice, if you would, I've underlined these seven things that the psalmist said here that is a state in which we begin to think about God and praise that we should be in. The first thing is in verse number 1, make a joyful noise. A joyful noise. Then the second thing that he mentions in verse number 2, serve the Lord with gladness. See, these are states that God wants us to be in His presence and out of His presence. When we praise God, these things will flow in our lives. If you are lacking joy, if we are lacking gladness, and all of these things, what's going down? It's because we're not praising God. When we praise God, God will bring these things in and through our lives. So He said, make a joyful noise. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, we're going to see here before this message is over. How each one of us, and by the way, when it says make a joyful noise, I challenge you. Look up what the psalmist is saying. Make a joyful, that noise there, it's a spontaneous shout. It's just something that wells up in us. And it's spontaneous. It's not really planned or it's not really something that is diagrammed out and engineered. It's just something when we begin to think about the goodness of God and the person of God, that it's spontaneous. It comes out. Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord, he said, with gladness. Look at the latter part of verse number 2. Come before His presence with singing. I love these states that God wants us to be in. And I believe this is what man is searching for in life. And the devil has offered substitutes that just won't cut it. It just won't cut it. You see, the devil tries to shortcut these things. The devil will say, well, you know what? You don't need joy. What you need is a thrill. Well, no. I want joy. I'm seeking joy. And it can only be found in God. And then he said, gladness. Gladness. It's something that's real. It's not happiness. It's gladness. Right? Then he says, singing. A song. When you worship God, God puts a song in your heart. When we worship God, when we realize who God is, God gives us something to sing about. Right? When's the last time you sing a song for God? The Bible didn't say sing if you have a talent to sing. I thank God for those who do, by the way. Amen. Don't you? I thank God for those who have a talent to sing. But the Bible doesn't say that the only people that are to sing is those that have a talent. Sing a song for the Lord. God gives us a song. You ever sing to the Lord? Do you? That would not be unnatural. That would be natural. He said, look at it again in verse number 2. Come before His presence, not their presence. Come before His presence with singing. That's the third state. Look, if you would, in verse number, drop down into verse number 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. So look at all of these states that God says, When you come and you want to worship and you want to praise me, these are things that I will give. Joyfulness, gladness, singing. Verse number 4, thanksgiving. These are great, great characteristics that should define us as believers. That when the world looks on us, they would hunger and thirst for these things that only God can put in the heart of man. Look at it again in verse number 4. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So we have joyful, gladness, singing, thanksgiving, praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Those are great states to be in your mind and your spirit. Say, oh, well, preacher, we can't be happy all the time. Well, not if you're counting on happiness, but I'll tell you what the Bible says, and the Bible's always right. Rejoice in the Lord always. So you can't rejoice in your circumstances always. There's not a person here that could say they can't. We can't rejoice in what's going on in this old world always, but we can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, look at some of the things that the psalmist said about God himself. He said in verse number 1, make a joyful noise unto the all capital letter Lord, Yahweh. Make a joyful noise unto Yahweh, the Lord. Then he mentioned in verse number 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. That's Elohim. That's the creator. Amen. God that spoke everything into existence. What a God. What a God. This ought to just cause us to want to worship and to praise his holy name. I like what he says about God in verse number 3. Right in the middle there says, for we are his people. God is he's our owner. God owns us. Does God own you? Does he? Nobody owns me, preacher. Well, now, yeah, they do too. Someone owns you. Who owns you? I thank God I've been bought with a price. The precious blood of Christ has purchased me. And I'm not my own. I've been bought. And that's what the psalmist said. He said, for we are his people. So he's the Lord. He's the creator God. He's the owner. And then in verse number 3, the latter part, he's the shepherd. He is, and we are the sheep of his pasture. I'm glad that God is my shepherd. Amen. I'm thankful. What a gentle shepherd we have. What a gentle shepherd, a caring shepherd. One that feeds us and provides for us and looks after our needs. See, the psalmist is saying, this is who God is. And this is what God does. And this is how you are to respond to that. With joyfulness and gladness and singing. I'm just convinced, brethren, more now than I've ever been in my 30 plus years of being a Christian. I'm just convinced that it's the joy of the Lord that's going to attract people to the Lord himself. People are going to every extent imaginable trying to find joy and purpose in life. And the only source of true joy and real purpose is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way. I want you to notice that these are not suggestions. Let's look at them. All right, I'm going to give you some suggestions here. But they're not suggestions. They're commandments. Can you imagine that? God says, I command you to praise me. Look at verse 1. Make. Does that sound like a suggestion? That's not a suggestion. That's a commandment. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I like this. All ye lands. Everybody. Everybody. God's done good to everybody. Everyone praise the Lord. That's what the psalmist is saying. Amen. Not just Israel. Not just the covenant people. Everyone praise the Lord. You Gentiles get involved. God's done good things for you. You praise the Lord. What's God ever done good for me, preacher? Well, if you've got some time, we could sit down and talk about it, and we'd probably fill a couple pages full. God's good to us. God is so good. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I told you that joyful noise, it's just a spontaneous burst. Just praise the Lord. Then look at verse number 2. Serve the Lord. You know, the way some folks live their life, and I'm talking to Christians now. If you're here and you're not saved, I'm not talking to you in this particular moment. I'm glad you're here. But I'm not talking to you in this particular moment. The Bible says you're to serve the Lord. That's not a suggestion. That's a commandment. Amen. Serve the Lord. Oh, I guess I will then. I've got to. No, you get to. So do it with gladness. Be thankful that God has saved you and give you purpose. I told you a couple of weeks back that my life found purpose when God saved me and called me to serve Him. Purpose, brethren, in life. You don't have to be a preacher to have purpose. You can have a lawn care service, a painting business, right? You can own businesses. You can work for another man. You can own your own business. You can, whatever you do, God will give you purpose when you put Him first, when you serve Him in whatever God's called you to do. When we serve God in a capacity that God bids us to serve Him, He'll give us purpose in life. And so He says here in verse number 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Let me ask you a question. Do you serve the Lord? This is not, it's not a suggestion. I serve the Lord, preacher. Think in your mind right now how you serve the Lord. How are you serving the Lord? I can't think with pressure. We're to serve the Lord. What are you doing that serves the Lord? Are you doing it with gladness? Are you? It's important that we serve the Lord with gladness. You know, many times when we serve the Lord, we may get tired in the work. But when you serve the Lord with gladness, you'll never get tired of the work. I love serving God. Do I get frustrated? You know the answer to that. I'm a human being. Sure, I get frustrated. But I love serving God. I love serving the Lord. I'm so grateful that I get to serve God. I'm so thankful for that. Serve the Lord with gladness. Look at what he said. Come before his presence with singing. Do you whistle while you work? Do you? Oh, preacher, that's fairy tales. That's Disney World. No, that's life if you live this book right here. Amen. God give you a song? Do you serve the Lord with gladness? Do you sing songs to the Lord? Preacher, is that attainable? Absolutely. Absolutely. This is the way God wants us to live our lives. You serving the Lord? Are you doing it with gladness? Are you singing songs? Look what he said in verse number 4. No, or verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us. Right? It is He that hath made us. What's God saying here? Here's a commandment. Don't miss it. We're commanded. Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord. Sing. You represent me. God wants us to represent Him well. There's a lot of souls at stake. There's a lot of souls at stake. And the way we represent Christ, we are ambassadors. And the way we represent Christ could mean the difference in eternity of heaven and hell for those in whom we come in contact with. Look what he said here. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and we, and not we ourselves. Right? What's he saying? He said, be submissive. Be submissive. You have a submissive spirit, a humble spirit. You're not your own. This is what the Bible teaches. What's the cry for today? You just do you. You be you. Right? You go, girl. You go, boy. What do you want to be in life? Right? Isn't that the cry of the day? Come on, brethren. That's the world. That's not this book. That's not the Bible. Don't get caught up in that. Shut that out. Shut that out. You'll never have a song. You'll never make a joyful noise listening to that advice. No. No. The scripture says here, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We belong to the Lord. And I'm glad that I do. I'm glad that I do. I wouldn't want it any other way. I remember when I didn't. I remember when I didn't. And I don't want to go back to that. Submissiveness. Submissiveness. Then look at this. He said, show that you belong to the Lord. Show that you're happy. When you come to the Lord's house, look at verse number 4. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Now, I'm preaching the word here. We ought to be the most thankful people in all the universe. Well, if we're not careful, we'll meet here at the house of God. We'll be just spilling, just complaining one to another and murmuring and griping. Hey, that's not what God wants out of His people. God wants His people to be a thankful people. Enter, look at it again. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. That's the way God wants us to come into this place. Write that. God wants us to come in with a full heart. Worship. See, I think sometimes folks forget that we're supposed to bring worship to church. Amen. You don't come to church and get pumped and primed and then, you know, try to get I hope the preacher can at least get an amen out of me before I leave. You ought to come in the house, you ought to come in those front doors saying amen. You ought to walk across the parking lot shouting amen. Amen. There was a little girl used to attend the church, little Malia. I remember the first time I looked out I was up in the foyer area there, and I looked out, and I seen her and her mom coming across, and she was skipping across the parking lot. And I said, hey, man, I like that. Hey, man. When's the last time you skipped to the house of God? Right? You say, now, wait a minute, preacher, we're not children. Well, there's times we ought to be like them. Amen? We ought to skip. Across the parking lot. And have a joy in your heart. If we're not careful, that old devil, the old enemy, he'll get us in such a state that the things that we've read in this psalm, just a simple little psalm. Listen, some of the biggest words in this psalm are generation, thanksgiving, everlasting. Those aren't big words. You don't have to be a very intellectual person to praise God. You don't have to have a degree to praise the Lord. Right? This psalm is just as simple as it gets. What's God saying? God's saying, I have given you every purpose and cause that there could be to praise me. So praise me. Are you praising Him? You say, well, preacher, I know I should, but you know, I just don't find myself praising the Lord a whole lot. What's wrong with me? Well, I'm going to give you two reasons and then I'll be through. But I want you to listen very carefully to me. All right? I believe God's people praise the Lord. I do. If you're saved, you'll praise the Lord. Now, maybe not as you should, maybe not as I should, and we'll see why about that in just a moment. But the first thing that you need to find out is, look at verse number 3 again. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. I want to bring this to a New Testament position. Are you saved? Are you? Do you know there was a time when a question like that was asked and people would have jumped up shouting, praising God, hallelujah, I'm so glad I'm saved, I'm not going to hell. Woo! I'm saved, amen! Now folks say, yeah, I'm saved. See how far we've come? Backwards. You can ask a question, are you saved in the grace of God? Yeah. Hey, that's not a casual thing. That's a thing of great excitement. We are saved in the grace of God, and we're going to heaven. Amen. We shouldn't have to be pumped and primed and twisted and turned, you know, to get excited about being saved. But now let's move on. When did you get saved? Think about that. What are you thinking about right now? Where were you? Now, I'm not thinking about, now let's see, my mama told me I got saved. No, that's not what I ask. I didn't ask what your mama told you. Listen to me carefully. There's a lot of people that their mama told them they prayed a prayer and that they're saved. That's not what I'm asking you. When did you get saved? Where were you? Anything coming to mind? If it's not, you've got a problem. And it's very real. What happened when you got saved? God break you down? God never saves anyone without breaking them down. Listen to me now. Parents, listen to me. Don't you raise religious children. You raise your children to understand what Holy Ghost conviction is and what being drawn by God is and repentance is. This is important. Important. I'm afraid that our independent Baptist churches are filling up with religious young people. Religious. All up here. They've never had a real encounter with God. I'm not indicting anyone. I don't know anyone's heart. But I'm very concerned. I don't see a whole lot of praising. I don't see a whole lot of serving. I don't see a whole lot of singing. I just see people going through the motions. That concerns me. And I'm not talking about Fellowship Baptist Church only. I'm talking about in the realm of Christianity today. So I want to ask you a question. Are you praising God? Are you singing? Are you serving? Does your heart pant after God? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you read His Word? Do you pray to Him? Do you talk to Him? When did you get saved? Think about that. Where were you? Are you thinking? Little children, I want you to think. This is for you. And I want the eldest to think. Where were you when you got saved? What went on around that? Did God break your heart for your sin? Did you cry out to God for mercy? God save you? If He did, He changed you. Were you changed? Really need to give that some thought. If you're having a problem thinking about where you were, what happened, if it's fuzzy, if you can't put a finger on it, I would really encourage you to get along with the Lord and say, God, more than anything else in life, I want to know, verse number 3, that I am your people and I'm the sheep of your pasture. I want to know I belong to you, Lord. My sins are forgiven and I'm saved in your grace. It is the most important thing in life. You listening? You know what the devil's going to do? He's going to tell you to put it off. Some of you have been telling to put off for weeks, months, years. Don't wait too late now. I'm not a novice. I didn't get into this yesterday. All right? I don't know what's in your heart, but I know what God laid on my heart. And there's a reason that God lays things on the preacher's heart. Are you saved? If you're not, you can be, and you need to be. Then number 2, the reason a lot of folks, church folks, don't praise God and worship God, and I'm not indicting anyone. I praise God for Fellowship Baptist Church. Great servants and fine folks. But if you're finding it hard and difficult to praise God and to serve the Lord, and there's no desire in your heart, I'm just asking you, check up now. Where were you? When did it happen? What were the events that took place? Be sure. Number 2. There's 3 words I want you to write down. We'll turn to a scripture and then I'll be through. Would you write these 3 words down? I'm taking my first word out of verse number 1, joyful. Joyful. I'm going to take my second word. I'm going to go down to verse number 4. It says, be thankful. That's my second word. And then my third word I'm going to take out of verse number 3 where it says, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves, for we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Humble. Submissive. We're His people. We don't belong to ourselves. We're submissive to Him. We're His people. Right? There's 3 words. Did you get them? Joyful. Thankful. Humble. I want you to turn with me to the New Testament now, to Ephesians. Preacher, how can I get to a place in my Christian experience where I can praise God and I can be desiring spiritual things and be in the presence of the Lord and have a song in my heart? How can it happen, preacher? Will I wake up just one day and it happen? Nope. Doesn't happen that way. There's a process that God wants to take every Christian through. When you got saved, God gave you His Holy Spirit. And if we have not kept short accounts with God and confessed our sin, I'm sad to report to you that we are leaky vessels. And the only way that we're going to praise God is to be filled with the Spirit. It's the only way. Notice what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 when he was writing this church about being filled with the Spirit. He said, these are some things that happen when you get filled with the Spirit. Let's just see what he said. Remember our three words? Look at verse number 19. Well, verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is it says, but be filled with the Spirit. All right? What do you mean, Paul? He said, well, I mean when you get filled with the Spirit, this is kind of some things that happen. These are some results of being filled with the Spirit. Not all of them, but these are some results. He said in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Sounds like a joyful person to me. That's our word, joyful. You get filled with the Spirit, you'll be joyful. You won't walk around complaining, murmuring, and griping all the time. Listen, disrespectful to others and always negative Nelly. Listen, you will not have that attitude if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You'll be in Psalm 100. You'll be joyful. You'll be making a joyful noise. What did he say? Singing and making melody. You'll come before His presence with singing. Right? That's the first thing. What was our second word? Thankful. Look at verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be thankful. You'll just find things to be thankful to God for. Amen. You'll just find the good things in every situation when you're filled with the Spirit. It's amazing. When I'm filled with me, I find the bad things in everything. When I'm filled with Him, I find the good things in everything. How about you? What was our third word? Humble. Look at verse number 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's what humble people do. See, proud people fight for their way. Humble people submit themselves one to another in the fear of God. Filled with the Spirit. Colossians chapter 3. I said one more scripture, but I was wrong. I'm going to give you this. How can I be filled with the Spirit, preacher? Colossians chapter 3. You got to get in God's Word. That's where it's at. It's as simple as this. The devil does not want you to get along with God in the Bible. You got along with God in the Bible today? Yesterday? How much time you spent in the Word of God today? I read a chapter this morning. You're not going to make a joyful noise on the chapter. I'm not indicting people. I'm just laying it out there. I think I speak to a group of people that want to be filled with the Spirit and want the joy of the Lord and know what it is to make a joyful noise and to be thankful. To represent Christ well, but it's not going to come on a chapter a day. You're going to have to spend some time in God's Word. Look what Paul wrote in Colossians. You're there, chapter number 3. Look at verse 16. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Some of you are not even looking at your Bible. You know why? Listen to me now. I'm just telling you. Because you say, oh, preacher, I know that. Yeah, I know. You know it. You're just not doing it. That's why you don't have any joy. And I'm not being mean. I'm just saying that's just the way it is. Oh, I know that, preacher. Yeah, I know you know it. It's right there. It hadn't got in here yet. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. What's going to happen when I start reading the Bible the way I ought to read the Bible, preacher? The Bible's never wrong. It's never wrong. Look what God says is going to happen when you start reading the Bible and I start letting the Word of Christ dwell in me richly in all wisdom. It's going to teach me and admonish me to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in my heart to the Lord. I'm going to make a joyful noise. I'm going to come before His presence with singing. Joyful. Look at verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. It's going to make me thankful when I get in God's Word. God's Word will make you thankful. And then it starts talking about wives and husbands and children and folks submitting one to another. Humble. That's what the Word of God does. So, Psalm 100 is a psalm of praise. You praising the Lord? Am I praising the Lord? Are we praising God? Are we giving God the glory that's due His name? Oh, I trust that we are. He is so... Listen, this is not about me. It's not about you. It's not about the church. This is about Almighty God. He is so deserving of our praise. I just want to see people praise Him. Don't you? Let's stand. Well, preacher, what if I'm not praising Him? But I want to. Well, make sure there's no unconfessed sin in your heart. You find somewhere. Maybe you need to come to the altar. In just a moment when we bow our heads and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I've sinned against You. Tell God what you've done and ask Him to forgive you. And He'll cleanse you of your sin. And then get in His Word daily, regularly. Spend time in the Word of God. And the Word of God will begin to dwell in you richly. And it'll begin to teach and to admonish. And the Spirit of God will teach you, as He teaches me and others, how to worship and praise the Lord. There's nothing in my flesh that knows how to do it. The Spirit of God has to teach us to do it, doesn't He, brethren? And the Word of God is what the Spirit of God uses to teach us. Let's bow our heads together.